Please take your Bibles and let us stand and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 22 through 24 today. Let us remember that we are listening to God's inspired and inerrant word. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. This be to God. We live in an Oprah Winfrey society, a society in which women are taught from television and on the radio and from practically every book stand in the mall or in the supermarket counter that they need to be fulfilled. And one particular subject that is displeasing and distasteful to modern American women is the subject of submission. Now, we need to ask a question. The question is, does the Bible teach that women are to be slaves to domineering men? Does it say that a woman must obey anything that any man tells her? Or does it raise women to a position not found in any other religion on the face of this earth? Just what is the responsibility, what is the duty of a Christian wife toward her husband? There is a command that's given here, and the command is summed up in one word. It says, wives, submit to your husbands, your own husbands. That word submit is a military term. It's a term that means to subordinate, to arrange under, to be brought under the influence of. It's a term that's used in the literature of the day when the Bible was written to describe soldiers who would submit to the orders of their commanding officers. It's a word that contains in it the idea of giving up your own rights or your own will to do the will of another. It's not a demeaning word. And the thing we need to understand is, even though a lot of folks, when they hear this word, their hackles immediately rise and they get upset. And the thing we need to understand and to teach is it is not a demeaning word. It's not a demeaning word because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself was submissive. He was submissive to his parents. He was submissive to his father. And we are to be submissive even as he himself was submissive. Christ as our mediator, Christ as our Savior sets the example of this. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, when he was a child, was subject to or submissive to his parents. Think about that for just a moment. Here is the sinless Son of God, one who has never done anything wrong in his life, having to be submissive to sinful parents. Yes, admittedly believing parents, but sinful parents. And Christ was. Christ, as our mediator, is also in the process of bringing all things under submission to himself. And the Bible tells us that when that has occurred, then he, as the perfect man, as our mediator, will also indeed be subject to God the Father. Listen to the way Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 15. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. You and I are commanded to be subject and to be in submission. We're commanded to be in submission to God our Father in the Bible. We are commanded to be in submission to the authorities who rule over us. And yes, when Paul wrote Romans 13, he was talking about pagan Rome. He wasn't talking about a Christian nation. And he said, be subject to the powers that be. He tells us to be in submission to the rulers of the church. And God alone knows how sinful we are. He told us to be in submission to fellow Christians in the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse right before this, as a matter of fact, is really connected with this in the Greek language. And we ought to read these two verses, 21 and 22, something like this. This is more of a literal translation of what Paul says. Being subject to one another in the fear of Christ, the wives to their own husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, himself Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, in this manner also, the wives to the husbands in all things. It's kind of a long sentence, but the point is being made that wives are to be subject to their husbands as the church is subject to Christ. Now, that's very unpopular today, because it goes contrary to our modern mentality of, I've got my rights, I need to be fulfilled. Men and women are sinners. And as such, sinners are selfish. I'm selfish, I suspect you're selfish also. I can only speak for myself, but I know I am. The way I learned that I was selfish was after 14 years of marriage, the Lord blessed us with a beautiful baby girl who kept us up at night right at first. And I discovered just how selfish I was in wanting my sleep that for 14 years I was used to getting. God taught me a wonderful lesson. And I'm continuing to learn that lesson. You see, as sinners, we all want our wants and our desires and our rights to be met. We don't want to have someone in authority over us who has the authority and the right to tell us that we're wrong, that we must do something, that we must obey. And it's this sinful selfishness that has produced the I need to be fulfilled stories that you find in a lot of the women's magazines. A lot of those folks, I'm sorry to say, are unhappy with being wives and mothers. They think it's somehow demeaning, and therefore they despise the role that God has ordained as not being rewarding enough. They sometimes seek fulfillment in rebellion against their calling to be a godly wife and a godly mother. Now, I'm not saying by this that women shouldn't work outside the home. That's not the point at all. As a matter of fact, the ideal woman in Proverbs 31 not only fulfills her duties at home for her family, but she also has a business that she conducts for the good of her family. And that's the key point. The key point is simply this. Does that work, whatever it happens to be, hinder your primary responsibilities to your husband and to your children? If it does, it is sinful. If it does not, and it's legitimate, then it's not sinful. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands. To your own husbands. Notice the Bible does not teach that all women must submit to all men who demand whatever of them. You are to submit to your own husbands, not to just any and every man. Because your husband alone has been given the right and the authority by God to ask obedience of you. And the only reason he has been given that is because God holds him responsible for your welfare, for the love and the spiritual condition of your family. Husbands, we're going to get beat on the head next week. We're going to see that our responsibility is a very great one. But I just want to hint at that right now in saying that God's going to hold us accountable for the condition of our homes. You're to be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, it says. Here, Paul is giving us the reason for the submission of wives to their husbands. And it is simply this, that husbands hold the position that has been placed upon us by God, and so in being in submission to your husband, you are obeying God in this matter. And the reason that's given is the husband is the head of the home. God has an orderly world. It's not just chaos out there, even though you have a tendency to think that. If you read the newspapers and magazines, you think that this world is in total chaos, but it's not. God has an orderly world, and God has, in His orderly world, fashioned the husband and given him the position of being head over the family, head of the wife and the children. It's based on, first, the creation order. Paul told Timothy, for example, where Adam was formed first and then Eve. And it's also based on the order of the fall. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. And so both creation and fall point out the order that's given here. Husbands, we've been placed in a position as head of the home. And what that means is, you and I, we have to be very careful about this because we're sinners, you and I do not have the authority to domineer. All authority comes from God, and you and I must follow God's law. We're going to see that the husband is responsible to God for his family, but that responsibility must be exercised in love. And so, Paul, in describing this, compares the Christian husband's headship in the family to Christ's headship over the church. He is head of the church, he says. And so the typical leadership that we are to follow and to pattern ourselves after is the pattern of the leadership of Christ over the church. The terms head and body describe this relationship. As head, Christ rules and directs the actions of His body, the church. As head, Christ makes decisions for the whole body of the church. And because He is our head, we do owe Him obedience. Christ's leadership is best described as loving leadership. The thing that we need to remember is that Christ does not ever demand anything of us as Christians that we would be ashamed of, or that He would be ashamed of, or that is sinful in any way. And that's the type of leadership we're to show to our wives. We must never demand anything of our wives that is in any way demeaning or sinful or something that we or they would be ashamed of. Look at Christ. He first acted to show His love for us by dying upon the cross for our sins to be forgiven. And so, as Paul points out, He is the Savior of the body. He is the unique Savior of sinners. Husbands, you and I can't save our wives by our actions. That's not what Paul is getting at here. But we are to have the same type of love for our wives that Christ had for us, the church. He died for us. We ought to love our wives enough to die for them. We ought to have an attitude of self-sacrifice toward our wives. And that's the type of attitude we must imitate. Remember, Christ demonstrates this love then by actually dying on the cross for sinners. Because He bears this relationship to us, being the Savior of the body, we are all in submission to Him. And therefore, Christian wives, with that as the background, with that as the understanding that Christ loved us so much that He died for us, that your husband is to love you so much that he would die for you, you are then to submit to your husband in the same manner as the church submits to her Savior, Jesus Christ. How does the church submit to Christ? Well, Christ loved us enough to die for us. We ought also to love Him enough to live for Him. That's the point. When we're called by Christ to become Christians, we give up all of our desires and all of our wants to follow that call of salvation. We turn from our sins to trust in Him, and we learn from Him how to live lives that are pleasing to Him. And we do this out of love for Him because He first loved us. So, how are wives to love their husbands? You're to love your husband enough to live for him. You're to subordinate your desires and your goals to his desires and goals. And what this doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that your life loses all meaning. Now, I know that there's some articles out there that will tell you that. That's not true. Instead, what you will discover is that you will have a greater meaning for your life in relationship, in a proper relationship, to your husband who is head of the family. And also notice that it doesn't mean that you are in any way inferior to your husband. That's not true. Christ was submissive to sinful parents, but he was not inferior to them. He is submissive to his Father's will, though he is equal with the Father. And so submission does not involve becoming inferior in any way. Instead, it involves the order and the function within the family that God has ordained. And so God created woman to be man's helper. He created woman to be the one who was suitable or comparable to him. Woman is not inferior to man. She is created to fulfill a specific role in God's creation order. And the role is that of submission rather than rule. And that's what the Scriptures teach. So, your submission ought to be like the church's submission to Christ. Wholehearted. In other words, you're not trying to hold something back. God would not desire us to hold anything back from commitment to Him. And so, wives, you're to have wholehearted commitment to your husband. It should be voluntary. God desires us to love Him in a voluntary way. And you should also voluntarily love your husband. It should be sincere, not hypocritical. And it should be enthusiastic. It should be prompted by conviction and out of love. Submission to your own husband. Once again, not just to any man, because if it were just to any man, that would prove some kind of inferiority. But the Bible guards against such an interpretation by telling wives that you're to be subject to your own husbands, not to just anybody. But it does say subject to your own husbands in everything. Now, guys, we're going to be held accountable for the condition of our homes. We're going to see that next week. You're the head of the household. You're held accountable and responsible by God for the condition of your home, for the condition of your family. If there's no love in your home, you're responsible. That's a tough thing, but that's what the Bible is going to tell us. Wives, you're to be in submission to such husbands in everything. Now, that may mean that on occasion I've heard that sometimes husbands and wives disagree. I've just heard that now. It's only a rumor. But sometimes that happens. And when husbands and wives disagree, when there is some kind of disagreement that arises between the two of you, husbands, you have an obligation from God to hear her side of the matter. Don't just cut her off. Think about, as I say this, I think about what we looked at on Wednesday night, Abraham's discussion with God about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Isn't that an amazing thing? Here, Abraham is acting in a submissive way, but at the same time presenting a case to God that's an important case that God needs to hear. If there are 50 righteous in Sodom, will you destroy the whole city for the sake of the 50, and then well, maybe if there are 5 less than that, 45, then 30, and then 20, and then 10. Abraham, in all of this, does not act in a way that is contrary to submission to God and faith in his Savior. He doesn't act in any way. It's a respectful way, but it's a way that he is just reminding God. He reminds God of one thing that's true of God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So it's proper for a wife to remind her husband that he has that obligation to do right. And you need to listen. But ultimately, there's a decision that has to come down. It has to be made. And God has told the husbands that the decision rests on our shoulders. He's going to hold us accountable for it, whatever it happens to be. And if it's something, wives, that you disagree with, you are to go along and to support him in that, with one sole exception. That's always an exception, cuts across the board in every single thing. No one, husband, authority figure of any kind, no one ever has the right to demand of you that you sin. Never. That's something that is irrefutable. But if it's not that, then you are to obey. Authority is limited by God. Anybody who oversteps that line oversteps his authority by trying to make you sin, and so there is a place for respectful disobedience in that case. Remember, the apostles were told by the Jewish authorities. We read part of that today. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so, obedient submission ought to be given in all things not sinful. And it should not be partial, but it ought to be complete. And it's not wrong to do so in the eyes of God. Wives, are you demonstrating your love for your husbands by being willing to live for them? Do you respect their authority? Remember, they're the ones that will have to stand before God and give an account to him for you and the way in which they've treated you. Then demonstrate that love and demonstrate that respect and demonstrate all of that by obedient submission. You're not in any way inferior. The Bible doesn't present you in any way being inferior at all. It puts you in a unique position. It puts you in the position of being able to reflect the love of the church for her great Savior as you submit to your husband as unto the Lord. What a marvelous illustration. And I know how hard it's got to be. And husbands, it's hard for us too. So stay tuned for part 2 next week. Let's pray.